الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان، فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصمه. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. With regard to the Quran Sharif, a great, great honorable kitab Allah has given us, and ulama have written various adab and rights of the Quran Sharif. The one was, which we have discussed, that we should have yaqeen on the whole Quran Sharif, on every ayat of the Quran Sharif, and we should learn the Quran and have our yaqeen as what the Quran wants us. Not that we use the Quran Sharif for our motives. Many a person, he has got his own batil thing, and he uses the ayat of the Quran to prove it. But we should see what the Quran teaches us, and that should become our lives. So the whole Quran Sharif, the yaqeen on the Quran, is the first and fundamental aspect. That it is from Allah, the whole kitab is 100% true. Every juz, every ayat of the Quran is 100% perfect and is correct. The other ada amongst the rights of the Quran Sharif, the love of the Quran Sharif. This is also very important that we should have. If we don't, we should cultivate the love of the Quran Sharif. If a person has it naturally, alhamdulillah, but otherwise, a person should then cultivate. And for that also, the month of Ramadan is the most ideal month. How much we will associate, relate, and engage ourselves with the Quran Sharif, so much will the love of the Quran Sharif also come. And all the Quran Sharif has got a very, very close relationship with the month of Ramadan. So all these qualities that we have to develop, we should try and our utmost during this great and honorable month. So the love, like today we love, whatever a person loves, he follows also, he's beloved. So if we will love the Quran Sharif, to follow the teachings of the Quran Sharif will become very easy. As we mentioned, Maulana Thanvi Rahmatullah Ali used to say, when somebody becomes ba'at to him, his first worry is not the islah of that person, but how he can embed his love in his heart. Because once a person loves somebody, then al-muhib limay yuhib muti'. He follows whatever his beloved. He will. You don't have to tell him anything. He will be keen to find out what you want. So if we have the love of the Quran, then automatically it will come. We will want to know, what does the Quran teach us? What does the Quran want from us? So to develop that love. And also, love is such a thing. Whatever a person loves, he remembers his beloved automatically. Who he loves, what he loves, he will remember his beloved. So if the love of the Quran Sharif will come into us, we will remember the Quran. I have to do my tilawat. Then it won't happen that sometimes we say, today I completely forgot to read Quran Sharif. One alim, Maulana Salat Rahmatullah Ali, who was in Ispingo's hill, rails, was the imam there. He was visiting by his daughter's place, and they were going for a picnic on a Sunday morning. So they told Maulana that we are leaving now, you can come. So he said, I have to read my Quran Sharif. So he said, we'll be whole day at the sea, you can read whole day as much. He says, I don't leave my home till I don't finish my 5 paras every day. Every day first my 5 paras I have to read, then only I will leave my house. And one time when we met him, he says, I can forget anything in the world, but Quran Sharif I can't forget. He was also famous for the way he knew his Quran Sharif and his Taraweeh. He was famous for that. And he was elderly at the time when we met him. But his love for Quran Sharif, and the no limit to the number of people in Islam, what love they have shown, what respect and honor they have shown to the Quran Sharif. So this is the month that how much we will relate and we will bring the Quran Sharif into our lives, the love of the Quran Sharif will come. We see on the other hand, unfortunately, the love of the cell phone, that a person is just in his namaz also is thinking. If he hears a beep, there is a message, the namaz is hardly really finished and he's already checking the phone. That what came. The last thing at night is the phone that he checks. The first thing in the morning when he gets up, the phone he checks. That love has, today the enemy has worked how to displace the love of our deen, all the matters of deen, and how to place all their things, the love of their things into us. Today, fashion we love so much. A person will go out of his way, and how much don't we pay for fashion? Just because the thing is in fashion, we will go out of our way. When a thing is not in fashion, then it's cheap, and nobody like looks up to it, has got any value for it. But the minute it's in fashion, then a person will pay so much for it. Once we were in the UK, and a certain player in soccer or something, he scored a goal or a hat-trick or whatever. And the type of glasses he was wearing, sunglasses. The people, all the fans went so mad. Our host at one place was an optician. He says that I had a few of those sunglasses. Normally we sold them at £50 a pair. At that time, up to £500 I sold a pair. And then too, it was sold out completely. Just because of the love for total batil. Hey, the sports is batil, the fashion is batil, that sunglasses, everything. But just because of that love for it. Today, how many of us, not only youngsters, but to talk about soccer, to talk about cricket, sports, it's a passion. We will give our lives for it, for so many other things, for fashion, recipes, ladies, they will discuss on the phone, exchange messages. But for Quran Sharif, let us see what is our attachment to Quran Sharif. And that is the general Muslim, and those that are ulama, who are huffaz, we also ask ourselves, how much is our attachment to Quran Sharif? We have got a ma'amul, alhamdulillah, may Allah give us all our ma'amulat, and we fulfill it also. Then do we still feel that, well, I've completed my ma'amul, now it's over, I've read my Quran Sharif for the day. But other things that we love, that I finished my ma'amul now, so much I had to check on my phone, so much I had to work on the computer, or so much I had to Google something, and now it's finished now, for my day, that is enough. Or do we still get engaged in it more and more? So the love of the Quran Sharif is also a great essential which we all lack, and we all have to make an effort. And there can't be a better time than the month of Ramadan. It is meant for the Quran. How much we will devote ourselves to recitation of Quran, all the aspects of the Quran Sharif, inshallah, this will come into us. So we should try and develop this and relate more to the Quran Sharif. Love of the Quran Sharif, for example, Bishr Hafi, Rahmatullah Alayh. What a great buzurg, and how did he become a buzurg? It is written that he found a paper on which an ayat or something of deen was written. And at that time he was far from deen. His condition was very, very different, in a complete different. But the love and respect he had for that this is the kalam of Allah, it is something of deen. He took it, cleaned it nicely, he found it lying somewhere. And he put scent on it, and with great respect he placed it on some high place. That night he saw a dream in which he was said, you respected our matter, our deen, our ayat of the Quran, whatever. From now we will show respect to you. And Allah gave him then, and he changed a complete leaf. And what a great buzurg he became. And Hafi were barefooted. That he was such that he used to say that where the lawn of the grass which is growing is the carpet on the ground. And I can't walk with my shoes on Allah's carpet. Today we also, this is again another aspect, that were chosen our houses. There's the one Islamic aspect is that why there are no shoes in the houses. But today it's common, today we can't understand that you must not wear shoes. One time, Haji Farooq Saab Rahmatullahi, Allah elevate their stages, visited here at home, and when he came home, so I told him, come in with your shoes. Now, usually you will concede to your host's request. He wanted to, and he did not want to. He wanted to come in, and he did not. Then he told me, I can't walk on a carpet with shoes. For us, we don't think about it. It means nothing to us to walk on a carpet with shoes. But the person, now this is just our man-made carpet. And Allah's carpet, so to have this respect. And another thing, in the Eastern countries still today also, they don't, even non-Muslims, the general pattern is no shoes in the house. And that again will talk of so much of cleanliness in the house. Our shoes that we go to toilet with, the same shoes we will walk on the carpet also, the same shoes everywhere we will walk with it. So etiquette we have to learn about this. Another thing with regard to this, to make our homes an Islamic home, not the frame that we put up, one frame Ayatul Kursi or any other frame, etc. That is just the frame we want to put. Non-Muslims also decorate their homes with frames. We also, we are Muslims, so we put a Muslim thing. And to the extent that we will put Ayatul Kursi, Asmaul Husna, on top of the TV also. On the TV now, all nudity will come, immorality will come, and on top of that, Ayatul Kursi. So we have to consider all these things. And then also, the other thing is, of an Islamic home, which is a thing, a necessary thing, is to have a parda on every door. This also we don't have. In the Eastern countries, so now we don't know, things are changing so rapidly. That, for example, the first time I think I went to Pakistan was when we were studying in Deoband, must have been about 1970 or so. And after some time, perhaps 6-8 years afterwards, we went in Jamaat. But we could see the world of difference in the parda of the woman. The first time, and this was now, we don't know before, you could see so many, almost all the women are in hijab. But just a matter of 6-7 years, and it was total different. Now, to see a woman in hijab was difficult. All were just open. So much so it's written that when one Muslim family that was in India, and there was a dispute about a land or a house, and the matter went to the court, and the British were ruling that time. A woman, she had to give evidence also. And she was so parda nasheen, how much of parda? She said, I'm prepared to come, but I can't see the face of a non-Muslim. So much of deen that even just to see the face of a non-Muslim, I can't do that, so I can't come. The judge was accommodating. He said, it's all right, she can turn her face the other way. But let her come and give her evidence so this matter can get settled. So a person with so much of parda in her, when she went to Pakistan, it is said on the streets of Karachi, you could see her walking open. And this may be now 80 years ago, 100 years ago, no parda. So much the environment has an effect on a person. Anyway, so this, having a parda on the doors is also an Islamic system. Allah bring it with ease and comfort. Today when we want to practice, it's very difficult also. But this was also a thing in the non-Muslims also. Just like, for example, khatna, to make khatna sunnat, what we call. So we know it's one of our practices. And yeah, we see that even amongst the local people, they also have this practice. And from many other signs also, it shows signs of Islam somewhere in the past was in them. And these things have come through. The same way, like this, walking without shoes in the houses, whether it's in the non-Muslim houses in the Eastern countries, having a parda hanging on the door, this also they have. But it's going out also, even from their houses, from our houses. So Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. One time, one place we went to in South America somewhere, and there was a ladies program. So when we went there, then outside the house there was a shoe rack. There also there isn't crime to that extent, theft, etc. So the shoes stay outside. They don't walk with shoes inside. The shoes don't go in the house also. They only stay outside. Then there were so many shoes. It was a ladies program. I felt happy inside. The mashallah, so many ladies came. But afterwards we found out it was all one, the house ladies' shoes. The whole shoe rack. So on the one side, no shoes in the house, but this extravagance. And so much shoes, so many shoes. Clothing also, we find of our buzurgs, or even perhaps presently, there are those buzurgs, or just recently, who just had one pair of clothes. And they said that was enough. At the most, two pairs. But today, our cupboards, the amount of material that we'll have, another kurta sewn, another kurtas come sewn, so much we have. So anyway, Allah Ta'ala make that we respect the houses also. If we can, in our homes, without shoes, especially on the carpets, we are very weak, very negligent. And at least to admit our weakness. Also, one time, Jamaat had come from, most probably Saudi Arabia, but it was an Arab Jamaat. We visited one alim in one town, and also it was a matter of the shoes. He asked them to take out their shoes, but there everyone was walking with shoes. And then he was a very hot-headed alim also, and an argument started between the Jamaat and him. And in that process, then they said, "You're telling us about taking out shoes, but you've got all the sofas, cities, all that. That is not our Islamic tariqah also. Arabs still generally, they sit on the floor. And if they have a cushion on the side, etc." So this is how one side, we are, a lot of us also, we blind to certain things, and we see so many other things again. Allah make us see for ourselves in the correct way, and with afiyat, Allah make it, it comes in our lives. And the sad part is that we still think ourselves very pious, and that I follow sunnahs. My mission is sunnahs in my life. But if we go and see, we are very, very far from a sunnat way of life. We should continuously make dua, effort also, that sunnats come into our lives. For example, if we sit down on the floor to eat, we will be happy, I observe sunnat. But if we see that, if we just count the amount of utensils we use, whether it's for our breakfast, our lunch, supper, whereas Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had one utensil, and everything was in there. Drinking water in there, everything was in that one utensil. So we are very happy, I follow sunnah. But really, how many sunnahs are in our lives? Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. So anyway, Bishr Hafi, rahmatullahi alayhi, he showed respect to that. Allah gave him what great honor. Today, if we have love for the Quran, also, the founder of the Ottoman Empire, Khilafate Usmani, it is said also, he was a very, very hospitable person. And he used to go out of his way. Whoever came to their town, their little village, he should go out of his way to host the person. And he had his jazbat of deen was very strong. And generally, other people can't accept it. So they regarded him also like today it would be, he's a fanatic, he's a mad person. And all the time, whatever could be said about him, they used to say. So one time they chased him out of the town. He went to his sheikh's place. Sheikh gave him a room to sleep where there was a Quran Sharif. The love and respect of the Quran was so much, the whole night he didn't sleep. He couldn't stretch his legs in the room where the Quran Sharif is. He said, "I can't stretch my legs in that room." So from that, Allah accepted him. And when he came out, then the whole story, just everything just fell in place, which eventually led to the Khilafate Usmani. And the Khilafate Usmani we knew, and just about 100 years ago, the enemies destroyed it. And now it's another 100 years, whatever is happening, Allah knows what's going to happen. Whether we're going further down, or complete change will come, and another wonderful era will start for Islam. But the Khilafat Uthmani, what a great era of Islam it started again. Allah Ta'ala knows. And with the present condition of Turkey, etc., how much more they coming on deen and supporting matters of deen, may Allah make. And also the Turks still today, like in the Topkapi Museum, I think they, when we visited at one time, and I think till now they've got that, where one person reads Quran Sharif continuously, all the time. They have got great love of the Quran Sharif. And it might be because the founder of it also, he was this love of the Quran Sharif. So Allah makes it that we inculcate this in our children also. How they will love their toys, how they will love their clothing, how they will love their hair. Today, children with the hair, the bigger thing, punishment that can be given is to cut the hair, or just tell them you have to cut your hair. They just can't take it. But that love for the Quran Sharif, that we find lacking. Today we find, you know, it was one time when we were small and we were taught Quran Sharif, that we kept it in the right hand and held it to the heart in a juzdan. But today the Quran is in a bag and the bag is behind the back. It's thrown at the back and the Quran Sharif is there. Quran Sharif, that adab, respect, Allah give us the love of the Quran, and this love must be with respect also. Great respect and honor for the Quran Sharif. As much as we can, we show love, we show respect to the Quran Sharif also. Another right of the Quran Sharif, ulama explained, Ta'allum al-Quran, to learn the Quran Sharif. And this also is from the cradle to the grave. The child is born, we try and teach them also, the minute they can start speaking the word Allah, one ayat of the Quran Sharif, few words of the Quran Sharif, to learn the Quran Sharif. And then the first thing that we can, if we can teach our children, mashallah, some of our younger ulama, they had made a determined effort, the children, the first thing, only teach them Quran Sharif. After that, we will see whether even just to read English or anything, that will come later. But the first thing is Quran Sharif. And what greater legacy can somebody give to his child than the Quran Sharif? And it was also in previous times that when a person passes away, one of the main things in his inheritance is his Quran Sharif. That, and he will give this Quran Sharif to a very close certain member. So Quran Sharif had a great, great part. So to learn the Quran Sharif, and no matter how much we have learned Quran Sharif, it cannot be exhausted. May Allah put that jazbah in us. Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi'i Sahib Rahmatullah Ali says, I regard an alim as that person that all the time there is some masala in his mind. He's thinking about something about deen all the time. And this should carry on. And he explained about Allama Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah right till his deathbed. Muhaddithin, we read, right till they narrated a hadith also. While they were passing away, they were busy narrating a hadith. One muhaddith wanted to, student wanted to learn hadith from him. So he said, bring your kitab in which the hadith is written. As he was going, he caught his clothes. He said, no, sir, let me, perhaps I die before this, before I can tell you, before you come with your kitab. So to learn Quran Sharif, the greatest kitab, Allah give us that jazba, that we continuously are learning it also all the time. Then the greatest, perhaps, or most important of the rights of the Quran Sharif, Amal bil Quran. The Quran has been revealed to make Amal. Today we use our deeni knowledge to find loopholes, that this is sunnah, this is nafil, so it's not important. But really our ilm was that to try and make Amal on it, the fazilat of everything. Two nafils after Zuhar, four faras, two sunnahs, two nafils, we will normally, we just take it as nafil namaz, so it's not important. We go on safar, sunnat muakkada also, we know the masala, it doesn't remain on the status of sunnat muakkada. But if we have got all the time, we've got now time for our cell phone to go on the phone, we got time to chat and talk, and we got time to even make ghibat, for that also, but to read our sunnat-e-mu'akkada, That we know the masala, it's not necessary. So all this to make amal on the Quran Sharif. And we see in this also how our elders, they made amal on every aspect of the Quran Sharif. Hazrat Mufti Mahmood Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, Hazrat's nature of tarbiyat was also ajeeb. Hazrat used to have his majlis after Asr, not formal majlis, but students used to come sit, Hazrat used to talk. And mostly Hazrat used to narrate waqiyat. And Hazrat was very humorous also and mentioned many things like that also. At the beginning, Allah forgive me, we thought that Hazrat just likes to talk and make some jokes and that. But it was afterwards he realized everything was tarbiyat. Everything Hazrat mentioned was full tarbiyat. In that one occasion he mentioned how much our elders, they made amal on deen, on the knowledge of deen. So one alim who was invited in some place to lay the foundation of a house, some of his close family people, whatever foundation it was, so he asked another alim to accompany him. So he said, you go on safar, you shouldn't go alone. Should have a company. And of course the hikmat and all that, we all have written so much of benefit. But anyway, so that also was amal that they used to make. On the teachings of the Quran, all the teachings of the Quran Sharif in its detailed form. And on the way, then he made that young person, the alim, that young alim, he made him the amir of the safar. Then when it came at night for tahajjud and he got up for tahajjud, so that young alim said, we are on safar. Tahajjud is at home it's nafal and on safar, so you don't make. But he, how lot tahajjud was embedded in him. He couldn't stay without his tahajjud. After a little while, that young alim said, he pressed his legs, said, please, if you permit me, I'll just make my tahajjud. So he said, you're disturbing my sleep, go do what you want to. So that also amal. When they got there, so he told him also when he took him, we have to put the foundation and perhaps it's a bit of a little to go down, put the foundation down. It might be difficult for me, I'm an old man, I will. You can do that. When they went there, then this old alim himself did it. So he said, but you told me that you are bringing me so that I'm a young person. So he says, I'm an old man, if I slip, fall, I get hurt, I die, then my life is like more or less now at the end. You're still a young alim, you have to do so much work of deen. How much consideration. Then those people gave some hadaya to the alim, naturally, great alim. He shared it with him also. And he said, al-hadaya mushtarakul. That hadaya must we share it out. So like this, how lot amal on every aspect of deen. So Allah give us tawfiq. On one occasion, one murid, student of Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani rahmatullah ali, visited him. Hazrat was not at home. Hazrat Asfar was famous for dini matters, political matters. Hazrat's life was safar. And what detail and what a life Hazrat led. So anyway, Hazrat was not there. They showed him the room, the mehman khana. He slept away. Hazrat came, which was common, that he would come middle of the night, any time he would come. Also, it was famous that whenever Hazrat would come back to Jioban, even at any time one student would see Hazrat, they knew that sabaks will start now. Just came from safar, and he would go straight to go and teach sabak. So anyway, so when Hazrat came there, then he saw this person is sleeping, so Hazrat slept on the floor. And as a pillow, he just used some brick or something like that, a stone. When the student woke up in the morning, naturally, and he knew what his sheikh, who his sheikh is, and what a great alim and his ustad. So he just couldn't take it. So Hazrat comforted him and told him that we people, we study hadith, we study Quran, but we don't make amal. Now what we will think of amal, somebody makes namaz, he's making amal on deen. Or a few months, thinks little, he's dressed according to sunnah, he's a very pious person. But see their level. Hazrat said that told that person, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir falyukrim dhayfa." A person who's got iman on Allah and day of akhirat must make ikram of his guest. You are my guest. But he's his student, he's his murid. Hazrat's nature was very different. Other mashayikh have got other usul with regard to their murids, etc. But Hazrat was completely different. He wouldn't allow a person to pick up his shoes also. A person opens the door of the car for him, he would become angry. And he said, can't I do that? Haven't I got that strength? And he wouldn't allow it. What was Hazrat's condition is very, very ajeeb. So anyway, so he told him that, you are my guest, and you have to sleep on top. I have to sleep at the bottom. But the time came for eating, and Hazrat took the jug to wash his hands. So he says, again I will object, you will tell me again. Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawmil akhir. Must make ikram of your guest. The host must make ikram. So this was what they meant amal. Today for us, amal is that we find gunjaish. Because of our knowledge, everything, this is not necessary, this is also permissible. You don't have to be so hard on this also. You don't have to, whereas this, they took it the other way completely. And all these things, that for themselves, they were very hard on themselves. And for others, always leniency. With regard to Hazrat also, one, just to let us understand the position of our akabir, Maulana Abdullah Kapodri Rahmatullah Ali has told us this himself. Hazrat was visiting in Gujarat, he says, first safar was carrying on. So at one person's place, where Maulana also knew the host, the person, and he told that, make some arrangement that I can sleep in the same room where Hazrat sleeps. So he told Hazrat will become very angry. He doesn't want anyone with him. He sleeps where he sleeps on his own. No one must sleep with him. So he said, please, he begged him, and they had that relationship, so he arranged something behind the curtain that he will sleep there. So Mana Abdullah Kapodri was there, and then the bayan took place at night, and supper after that. Then people came in, meet Hazrat, somebody for ta'weez, somebody for mashura. And when they finished, must be 12, half past 12, 1 o'clock at night. Then Hazrat now got made his wudu, etc., came to the room. And Mana Abdullah Kapodri is there. Like nobody, Hazrat didn't know. And then he lied down to sleep after that. While other people still having their paan, their tea, etc. By the time they went to bed, Hazrat was up for his tahajjud already. And his tahajjud, he says, really, how we read in the kitabs, when a kettle of water boils, and that sound, Hazrat was like that now, continuously. Right, and then after that, after Fajr, we'll think we take a little rest now. Next supper was on the way again. Carrying on, this was the condition of our elders. This we say that we can get little some inspiration, or at least we can respect and admire them. And we can say, these are our aslaf, haulai abai, that who these people were, and unfortunately where we are. So Allah Ta'ala give us this love and respect of the Quran Sharif also, and then to learn the Quran Sharif and make it the mission of our lives to learn Quran Sharif, never to be satisfied for people like us ordinary, that always there's so much to learn. But mashallah, ulama who have got so much knowledge and so much in depth, but then also there is no end to it. The Quran Sharif and the knowledge of Quran Sharif, and we see our akabir, our aslaf, right to the end, how much they delved into Quran Sharif, and to make ishaat of the ulum of the Quran Sharif, to teach the Quran Sharif also. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq to the love of the Quran, the azmat of the Quran, and to make it a mission to learn Quran Sharif, and right through till the end of our lives that we keep on learning Quran Sharif also. Allah give us all tawfiq inshallah. Subhanallah.